Good morning. We have a lot to talk about today. First of all, I want to wish everybody a Gemara Chatima Tova. There's also Izbeit Nagid Gizendur for us and for all of Klal Yisrael. Rabbi Hashem should take care of us. He's been doing a pretty good job lately, and we are confident that he will continue to take care of us while everybody all around us is losing their heads and understand we're just worried about, you know, a kaparis, palmidre, and in all the countries around us, it's a lot worse than kaparis and kol nidre. All right. I'll tell you what the shiur is going to be about in one sentence. I'm going to talk about somebody whom I consider to be one of the greatest balei tshuva of all. You would never ever have used that term with regard to him, but I am going to use precisely that term. The great Baal Tshuva of them all. And his name is Eliyahu HaNavi. And I'll tell you in advance what I'm going to do. I'm going to paint two pictures. I'm going to paint two pictures of Eliyahu HaNavi. And they're going to be radically different pictures. We're going to call one of them Eliyahu HaNavi 1. That was pretty profound. And we're going to call the second one Eliyahu HaNavi 2. We will begin with describing Eliyahu HaNavi, Eliyahu the prophet, number 1. And there it is. The very first time that Eliyahu appears in Tanakh. There it is, number 1. Vayomer Eliyahu Atishbi mitoshavei Gilad el Achav. Eliyahu Atishbi, a resident of Gilad, he lived on the other side of the Yarden. He told Achav, king of Israel, who was a wicked king of Israel. His wife was Izebel, they were idolaters. He said to him, Chai Hashem, I swear by to God, Elokei Yisrael, the God of Israel. Asher amanet in the form of the one before whom I stood. Im yiyah hashonim ha'ele tal umotor kiim lefi dvari. No rain, no dew, unless I say so. He brings down terrible suffering upon the Jewish people. The land will not have rain, nor dew. That sounds like somebody who is God's angry man. He is waging war against idolatry. And in war, you do the... This is what Eliyahu does. Anyway, then there were all sorts of stories about Eliyahu HaNavi. Until I'm taking you now fast forward to the end of Eliyahu HaNavi's career. The end of his career. And the end of his career is he just flees, he runs from Yisrael. He was in the area of the 10 tribes, and he goes out to the desert. And number 2 is Vayavo Shomel HaMa'ara. He came there to the cave. Vayolon Shomel, he stayed overnight. It's a cave in the desert. Those who say that this cave is the cave in which Moshe Rabbeinu stood when God passed before him and taught him the 13 attributes of God. Hashem Hashem kel rachum v'chanon erech apayim rav chesed emet v'hineh dvar Hashem elav. And behold, he's in the cave and the word of God comes to him. Malach ha'por Eliyahu v'yomol, God said to him, Malach, Malach HaPor Eliyahu, what are you doing here, Eliyahu? What are you doing here? I mean, we can say simply the question is, you're a Navi, you're a prophet of the Jewish people, you should be amongst your people. What are you doing out here in the desert in a cave? Comes the great answer of Eliyahu. Vayomer, he said, Kano Kineti Lashem Elokei Tzvakot, I have acted with great zeal. I'm the great Kanoi for God, the God of hosts. And I am the one who has been in conflict with the Jewish people because, one, Ki azu britcha b'nei Yisrael. The children of Israel have forsaken your covenant. Et mizbechotecha harasu. Your altars they destroyed. Ve'et nevi'echa hargu b'charev. And your prophets they killed by the sword. Vo'ivater ani levadi. And I alone remain. Vayivakshu et nafshi l'kachtam. And they seek my life. Ezebel had told him, I swear you will not be alive. And that's when he flees and he's out in the desert. So Hashem asks him, what are you doing here? So he says, very clearly, your children have forsaken your covenant. Vayomer, so God said to him, say, go out, v'amadator b'hor lifnei Hashem, stand out on the mountain, outside of the cave before God. V'nei Hashem over, and behold, God is passing before him. The ruach gedolah, there's a great wind. The chazak, a tempest, strong. Mefarek arim u'meshaber slain. We're talking about a divine kind of wind that destroys mountains, shatters rocks. Coming lifnei Hashem, before God. Lo boruach Hashem. God is not in that mighty, mighty, powerful wind. Fi'achar haruach rash. After the terrible wind comes an earthquake. The earth shakes. Lo barash Hashem. God is not in that earthquake. V'achar harash, and after the earthquake comes esh, awesome, terrifying fire. Lo ba'esh Hashem, God is not in the fire. V'achar ba'esh, and after the fire comes kol demama daka, a still, thin sound. Sort of an oxymoron. A silent sound. Sounds of silence. Shh. That's where Hashem is. Hashem is not the one who storms. He's not the one who quakes. He's not the terrible fire. The still, thin voice. That's Hashem. Vayehi. Kishmo Eliyahu, and it came to pass when Eliyahu heard. I have a feeling, do you know what Eliyahu hears? The thin, silent voice of God. Vayolet Pono Ba'adarto, he covered his face with his cloak. Vayetze, he went out, Vayamol Petach Amara, and he stood at the opening to the cave. V'hine Elov Kol, and behold, there's a voice that comes to him. Vayomer, and the voice, this is the voice of God, says, Malcho Po Eliyahu, same question. What are you doing here, Eliyahu? And you know what Eliyahu's response is going to be? It's very, very familiar. Vayomer, and he says, Kano Kineti Lashem, Elokei Tzvakot, I have been zealous for God, the God of hosts. Ki ozu britcha b'nei Yisrael, b'diyuk, precisely what he said in response to the first question. Asked the same question a second time. His response is the same. They have forsaken your covenant. Et mizbechotecha harasu, they have shattered your altars. Et nevi'echa hargu b'charev, and your prophets, they killed by the sword. Voivater ani levadi, and I remained alone. Vayivakshu et nafshi l'kachta, and they seek my life to take. End of conversation. And then, vayomer Hashem elav, there's a pause. You get a feeling there was a very significant pause over here. And then vayomer Hashem elav, God said to him, Leich shuv l'darkecha, go back. Go back, Ludarkahot, to your road where you were. Go to the desert of Damascus, and he has to do three things. Uvoto moshachdet chazoel melech al-Aram. You are going to anoint Chazoel to be the next king of Aram. Vet Yehu ben Nimshi, Yehu the son of Nimshi, Timshach, you will anoint the Melech Yisrael, the king over Israel. Vet Elisha ben Shofat, Elisha ben Shofat from Ovel Mecholo, you will anoint him, Timshach l'Navi Tachtecho. So we need. It means what really has taken place over here in Yo's period of prophecy has come to an end. And there in number three I have the Rashi right on the spot. Timshach l'Navi Tachtecha, Elisha ben Shofat should be the prophet in your place. I efshi b'nevuotecha, I can't take your prophecy, God says. Me'achar shata melameid kategoria alvanai, because you speak negatively about my people. You find fault with my people. Well, this is quite a combination. I can't take it. All you have to say about Klal Yisrael is they've forsaken the covenant. They've broken the altars. I can't take it. So you know what? Well, time has come for somebody else to take over. This is Elio, and sin. God is having difficulty with Elio. The Hashem doesn't want people who speak ill about Klal Yisrael. There are goyim out there in the world that speak ill about us. We have to speak ill about ourselves. Turn over to the other side. Here we have one of the incidents that takes place during the period of Elio's prophecy. He had been staying with a particular home, and the child of this woman in Almona dies. And she sends a message to Elio, my son is dead. By Yigrael Hashem, he comes to the house, and he calls out, it's Elio calling out to God, Vayoma, Hashem lekai, God by God, Hagama ha'almona, asher ani mitgoreri mahareyota l'hamita b'na. Even this Almona, where I stay, you've done so bad to kill her son? What do you want? He's getting angry with the Rebbeim. Elio is God's angry man, and he gets angry with everybody. He's spread himself out on top of the child, and he called to God, and he said, Hashem Elokai, God my God, Toshiv na nefesh hayeled hazeh al kirbo, bring back the life of this child into him. Vayishma Hashem kol Elio. This is so great, I love it. God, you know, Elio saith, God listeneth, and God heard the voice of Elio, Vatoshiv nefesh hayeled al kirbo vayechi. Child's life returned, and the child is alive. That child is alive. Vayikach Elio et hayeled. Elio took the child, Vayogidehu min ha'aliyah ha'baita, and he brought him down. They were on a second floor in an attic someplace, and he brought him down into the house. Vayidnehu le'imo, and he gave the child to his mother. Vayomer Elio, and Elio said, see, chai b'nech, your son lives. Vatomer ha'isha el Elio. The woman said to Elio, Ata ze yodati, now I know. Ki ish elokim ata, you are a man of God, udvar Hashem beficha, and the word of God in your mouth is emet, is truth. We'll be getting back to this yet. What's important about this incident is that who's the child? You know who the child is? The child is Yonah. Ben Amittai. We're going to read about him at Mincha time on Yom Kippur. Mincha time on Yom Kippur, the Haftorah is the Haftorah Master Yonah, the story of Yonah. And I believe that if we take a closer look at Yonah, we're going to understand Eliyahu. In a real sense, Yonah is brought to life by Eliyahu, and Yonah, in a sense, becomes the image of Eliyahu. What's the battle that's going on in the entire book of Yonah? What's this terrible struggle? Yonah flees before God. God wants him to go to the city of Nineveh and tell that city of Nineveh, oh, Darboin Yom, the Nineveh Nebuchadnezzar, in another 40 days, Nineveh is going to be destroyed. He doesn't want to go, gets onto the boat. We know the whole story with the boat. They throw him overboard. The big fish swallows him. Big fish finally spits him out on dry land. Yonah's decided he's going to do the bidding of God. He doesn't want to do it, but he's going to do it now. And he comes into Nineveh, and he makes an announcement. And by the way, there was something I think even in the way they looked. Eliyahu is described as, you know, the fellow with hair and a garment of leather with a rope around him. There was something scary about Eliyahu. There was also something about Yonah, that was the way he looked and how he walked and what he did. He comes into the city. He comes into a Gentile city, and he says a few words. Oh, that von Yom, the Nineveh Nebuchadnezzar, another 40 days. Nineveh is going to be destroyed. And you know what happens? An absolutely awesome and dramatic period of tshuva. Everybody does tshuva. Everybody does tshuva, this is. And that's precisely what Yonah was afraid of. Uh-huh. You understand? Yonah was afraid. They're going to do tshuva. And the Rabbi Yisrael is a softy. You understand? He's a softy. And he's going to forgive these fellows. And he knows already that the day is yet going to come when these fellows are going to cause terrible, terrible trouble to the Jewish people. I'm going to run quickly through number five. Number five is the last chapter of Yonah. I'm starting with the last pasuk. There are four chapters. I'm starting with the last pasuk in chapter three. Vayaru l'kimit maseim, God saw their deeds. Ki shavu mitarkam haro, that they had done tshuva from the evil ways. Vayinochem ha'lukim al haro asher diber la'asot lehem. And God relented concerning the evil that he had said he would bring upon them, below also. And he didn't punish the city. Vayeda el Yonah ro gedolah vayichalo. Yonah, oh, it was so bad for Yonah. He was angry. He was angry at what God had done. Vayichalel el Hashem. And he prayed to God. Vayomer, he said, Ono Hashem. Listen to this. You have to listen to this, pasuk. And you have to understand it well. Ono Hashem. This is what exactly what I was saying while I was still on my own land in Eretz Yisrael. Exactly what I was saying. I knew it. I knew this was going to happen. Now he's finally telling us, why did he flee to Tarshish? Fleeing from the word of God? Because I know you. You're a compassionate and merciful God. Erech HaPayim, long suffering. V'rav Chesed, and your kindness is so great. V'nicham al ha-ra'ah. And nicham al ha-ra'ah. And you relent from doing harm. Let me read that again. I know you, Rabbi Shalom. You're so miserably good. You're so compassionate. You are so wonderful. You are so long-suffering. And it seems as though he's saying to him, to the Meshem, I can't take it. What's going on? What's Jonah saying? What's Jonah saying? Here is one of the great examples. If you want to know what Jonah is saying, it's not by what he said, but he left something out. Let's read that passage again. Make believe in. Ki yadati, that you are kael, rachum lechanun, erech apayim, v'rav chesed. Wait. What comes after rav chesed? V'emet. The word emet does not apply. It doesn't appear. Why doesn't he say that God is the God of emet? You know why? Because that happens to be the great debate between Jonah and God. Jonah is the son of Amittai. He is Emmet. He was brought to life by Elio. And what did the mother say? Ato yodati, now I know that you are Ishelakim Udvar Hashem Beficha Emmet. Elio represents Emmet. Jonah represents Emmet. Emmet means people have sinned, they have to be punished. Mm-hmm. You can't relent. What are you talking about? You're going to be merciful, you're going to be compassionate. What are you going to do? Is mercy and compassion always that good? You release 300 terrorists and they're going to go back to kill it. That's mercy, that's compassion. And meth would mean not. They've been judged, they've been found guilty, they're going to stay in jail until the end of their time. No. Rabbi Shalom, you're a softie. Then, what happens over here? After we can go through the story. V'ato, look what he says. V'ato Hashem, now God, kachna et napsi b'meni, take my life from me. Ki tov moti mechayai. Better that I die than I live. Unbelievable. Better that I die than I live. Jonah knows that these people of Nineveh later are going to turn around and become terrible enemies of the Jewish people. Mm-hmm. He can't take it. V'yomer Hashem, and God said to him, Hahetev HaKaroch, you're really that angry? You're really that? So angry. No answer. Yonah went out of the city and he sat down to the east and he made a little sukkah for him, a sukkah kleina. Vayeshev tachter, he sat under the sukkah, batseim the shade, arashe yireh, ma yeh be'ir, until he sees what's going to happen in the city. Vayemam Hashem elokim kikayon, and God prepared, designated, kikayon is a kind of growth, a shrub, a tree, that grew right near there, and it provided Jonah with such badly needed shade. My man Hashem came to Yom Vayal, and the old Yonah came above Yonah. Liotzel Orosho, to be a shade over his head. Lahatzil lo mirato, to save him from the terrible straits in which he found himself. He's not only emotionally upset, but physically it's very difficult for him out there. Yonah was happy about that. Kikayon, great joy. And then then God brought some kind of a creature that ate it up. Balot hashacha at morning. Lamacharat, following day, batachat hakikayon vayivash, and the kikayon was struck by this creature and it died, and it dried up. When the sun began to shine, just when he needs the kikayon, the Rebbeinu brought an east wind. The east wind is a hot wind. And the sun beat down upon us. Yonah's head, and he felt faint. And he asked to die. Again he says, better my death than I live. God said to Yonah,
Ahitev Choroloch Alakikayon,
you're very upset about that little tree that I made for you. Vayoma, Hatev Choroli Avavat, I'm very, oh boy, I am very upset. Vayoma Hashem. And Hashem says, and this is the message of the Sefer. Ato chastal hakikayon. You took pity on this kikayon. Hashalom altopo. You didn't put in any kind of effort in order that it should grow. V'lo gidalto. You didn't raise it. She'd been laila yo, been laila avon. Over one night, it came, and then it went. Vani lo ochus al ninve hoir hagadola. I should not have mercy, pity, compassion on Ninve, the great city, that has more than 120,000 people that don't know the difference between our right hand and left hand. The Rebbeinu is pleading with Yonah that Yonah should understand him. Yonah, I am compassionate. I am merciful. Let's take it one step further. Eliyahu and Yonah are emet, truth. Truth is justice, din. It demands. You sin, you're punished. That's all. That's the way it is. The wages of sin are punishment. The Rebbeinu is not only Emet, but he's also Rav Chesed. He's merciful. My creatures, Chavachachmanas. Let's take it one step further. Rosh Hashanah is the day of Din. Rosh Hashanah is the day of Emet, of truth. But then the Rebbeinu knows that, you know, we might have a difficult time making it with Din. So he prepared a day called Yom HaKippurim, the day of Kapora, Slicha, Umechila, when God presents himself to the Jewish people as the Avinu of HaRachman, the merciful Father. That's why toward the end of the day, as the day begins to ebb away, we read the story of Yonah. The story of Yonah is that which says, I am Erech HaPayim V'Rav Chesed. Yonah demands Emet. Can't always. God created the world with Din, Bereshit Bara Elokim. Elokim, which is Din. And then afterwards, when the story of creation is repeated, it says, Ela Todok Hashemayim V'Arts B'Yom V'Ro Hashem Elokim Yudke Vavke Elokim. Yudke Vavke is the God of mercy. And Rashi, the famous Rashi that says there, that God created the world with Din, and then he saw that it cannot last if everything is going to be the letter of the law precisely. So you know what he did? He included Chachamim and mercy. Rosh Hashanah is Yom HaDin. Yom Kippur is Yom HaRachamim. Rosh Hashanah is the day of Eliyahu and Yonah. Yom Kippur is the day of the Rabbeinu Shlomo. But. Number six. Number six, we're not going to read the whole thing, but part of it, it's from the Yalkut Me'am Loes. Chazal Pirshu, Shelimei Kategoria al Yisrael. I had read the Rashi, that the Eliyahu, said negative things about the Jewish people. They shattered your altars. They broke your covenant. And we read the Rashi. Yetshi bin of Otech, I can take your prophecies. Kishomar Elio, when Elio said, Kano kineti, Lashem lekeitzvaot, ki ozu britcha b'nei Yisrael, when he said that pasuk, and he said it twice, I was zealot for God, the God of hosts, because they forsook your covenant, the children of Israel, Amalak Kodesh Baruch Hu, the Medrash says, you know what the Rebbe Shem told him? Bliti? My covenant? I don't know what you're talking about. You know, I always feel the best way to explain this Medrash is with a Yiddish word, or how many people know? The Rebbe Shem wants a gemach tamavata. You know what tamavata means? Like, Ilya, I don't know what you're talking about. You said that the children of Israel, they forsook my covenant? My covenant? What, me? No, no. Maybe Vritcha? Maybe Yukha? I don't know what you're talking about. Ukishama, and when Eliyahu said that Mizvachotecha harasu, your altars, they have shattered. Omalo, so God said to him, Mizvachotai? My altars? I don't know what you're talking about, Eliyahu. Shemo Mizvachotecha, maybe it's your altars, my altars. Give me a break. Ukishama, and when Eliyahu said that Nivyecha Hargu Bechorav, your prophets, they have killed by the sword, Omalo, so God said to him, Nevi'ayim. These prophets are my prophets. V'atma ichbatlach. What's your business? Don't mix into my business. Amalo, Elio said, V'yivater ani levadi, and I alone remain. V'yivakshu et nafshi lekachton. They want to kill me. Bo're'ei. Now listen to this. Oh, this is gefaldig. Bo're'ei manem Hashem. Take a look at what it says over there by Elio. He found a meal prepared for him, ugat ritzafim, a cake. Ritzafim means made on coals. So the Medrash learns ritzafim, two words, rotz peh, shatter the mouth. Ritzotz piyot becholmi sho'ama dilatoria alvonai. God says, shatter the mouths of those who speak ill about my children. I don't want to hear. Jews should not speak ill of Klal Yisrael. Well, when we count on the row, and from here we see, Kamachomer hu ledaber al Am Yisrael bechlalo. How serious it is to speak about the Jewish people. V'lechein, therefore, osin kisei shel Eliyahu sheyavo v'yireh habritot sheosin Yisrael al hayom. So therefore, you know what Eliyahu was condemned to? He was condemned to eternal life. He was condemned to earn eternal life. Eliyahu never died. Never died. You know what he does? One of the many things he does. He has to be by every bris milah, kisei shel Eliyahu. And it seems that every Motzoi Shabbos, he writes up a doch, a complete report, on all of the bris milas he was during the course of the week. And he comes up to the Rebbeinu and he presents it with him. Hey, Eliyahu, as brisi hefedu, they have broken my covenant. This is a pretty nice list of listen that you were at, you understand? We have completed the picture of Eliyahu 1. Our Eliyahu, the one whom we know, the one whom we relate to, is he God's angry man? Oh no, no. Completely different Eliyahu. A completely different Eliyahu Hanavi. He's merciful, he's compassionate, he stands ready to give aid and assistance to the Jewish people. He has appeared so many times in history. Many times in history. And take a look, at the list that I've given you over there. And it begins with number 7. Number 7 is the only place in Tanakh, and it's the last prophecy of all. Where we all of a sudden see that there's a new Eliyahu, a different one. Zichru Torah Moshe Avdi. Remember the Torah of my servant Moshe. Asher tzivita oto that I commanded him, b'chorev al kol Yisrael, chukim mishpatim. Hinei anochi sholeach lachem et Eliyahu hanavi lifnei bo yom Hashem hagodol v'hanora v'heishiv leivavos albonim v'leibonim al avosam. Behold, I'm going to send before the great and awesome day. The one who's going to notify you that Mashiach is on the way is going to be Eliyahu. Harachamon, who yishach lanu, inventing? As Eliyahu Hanavi. The Yavase Elonu Beseres Tovus Yeshuas in the Chomas. I have it over there in number 8. Arachlish. Eliyahu is the great messenger of God. Number 9. In the brachas after the Haftorah, we say, Samchenu Hashem Elokeinu Be'Eliyahu Hanavi Avdecha. God, make us full of joy with Eliyahu Hanavi, your servant. Well, there's a whole different Eliyahu that's appearing before us. Do I need more than that? I need more than that? The night of the Seder. Kos Shel Eliyahu. We open the door. Baruch Haba. By the way, the Aruch HaShulchan brings that. You're supposed to say Baruch Haba. And you know, we tell Eliyahu, Eliyahu is the one who's going to stand there and protect the Jewish people. Eliyahu appears so many different places in Shas. Eliyahu has appeared to great tzaddikim throughout history. Eliyahu is there on the spot. Eliyahu is the good one, the compassionate one. It begins on Dav Gimel Amad Aleph in Brachas. Reb Yossi says, I once went into a ruin in order to daven. Ve'Eliyahu himtin li amat Pesach, and Eliyahu waited for me by the door. And when I came out, he told me a number of halachas. You understand? We learn halachas from, he tells us the halacha. How many times does it say in Shas when we have a doubt about something? Yeheimunach, let it be put away, until Eliyahu comes. Teiku. We've been taught since we were little children. Teiku means Tishbi Yitadates Kushels Haboyas. Any question that we have in Halacha that has remained unresolved, when Eliyahu Hanavi is going to come, he is the one who is going to give us all of the answers. Number 11. Do you know one of the great zmiras of Mitzoy Shabbos? I don't know why we stopped singing it. I want to bring it back into vogue. Eliyahu Hanavi, Eliyahu Hanavi. I'm as a child. Who didn't say this? Eliyahu. Oh, this is going to sound good on the website, you understand? He sings too. Eliyahu Hanavi! We sing to Eliyahu. By the way, I just put it here on the page so you should have it. There's such amazing statements that I made about Eliyahu over here in this. Let's take a look at it. Just follow me. We're going to run around a little bit. Eliyahu Hanavi, Eliyahu HaTishbi, Eliyahu HaGiladi, the Meheder Yavo Eleinu, let him come speedily in Moshiach ben David, the Moshiach the son of David. Isha Shekinei L'Shem HaKel, the one who was zealous for the name of God. Ish Busar Shalom HaYedei Yikusiel, the one who was given the promise of peace. Now you know, there is a machloket whether Eliyahu and Pinchas are the same person. There are Midrashim that say Eliyahu and Pinchas are the same person. And Pinchas began his career as the great zealous one who killed Zimri and Cosby. And then there are others who say, no, that Pinchas was one and Eliyahu is another. And by the way, there's so many fascinating shailas in the Gemara with regard to Eliyahu. If he had a wife, Eliyahu was taken heavenward, can she remarry? If he's alive, then she still married him. If he's alive, floating around someplace in space. Or, most of the Farshim say that Eliyahu appears in one of two ways. There are times that he appears as a man of flesh and blood, and there are times that he appears as a spirit. And everything depends on what he is at the time when he appears as a man of flesh and blood. He's chayiv his own mitzvahs. But when he's a spirit, it's all the stories about Eliyahu.
There's nobody like Elio HaNavi.
Let's go a little further in the Sefiros over here. Let's go on to the next side where I've underlined. Ish Pakid Al Kol B'Sarot Tova, the one who is appointed to be in charge of all good news. Ish Tzir Neman, the one who is the trustworthy ambassador. L'Hashiv Leiv Avot Al Banim. Do you know what a test that's going to be? The Heshiv Leivon is to bring fathers and sons together. Close the generation gap. That's going to be a tremendous job that can only be done by Elio. Ish Korei Kano Kineti L'Hashem B'Devara. Ish Rochev Al Sulseyesh. He rides on horses of fire in a storm heavenward in the chariot. Elisha ben Shaphat sees him flying up over there and he says, Avi, Avi, my father, Rechev Yisrael Uparoshav, the chariot of Israel and its riders. Elio is Ish, there it is, Shalotam Tamisa Ukuro. He did not have the taste of death or burial. I came to Eretz Yisrael in 1955, and in the summer of 1955, I was part of a group that we had about five or six of us that had come together to Eretz Yisrael. It was Rabbi Lynchner of Torah Vadas that sent us, and we were part of the staff of what was going to be Boys Town, but was not yet Boys Town. And there it is, I think it was someplace up on Rehov HaPisgah, Bayit Vegan. There was no Rehov HaPisgah. It was all rocks. And we had a summer camp there for children from North Africa. And we're the big counselors, you understand? All right. I remember before I left for Eretz Yisrael, I was afraid that I'm going to come over there and they're going to ask me, Tam Ayita, the Empire State Building, were you ever in the Empire State Building? And what was I going to tell them? I live in New York, but I wasn't there. So then I was walking through Manhattan, I think I was going for my passport or something. The Empire State Building. I walked into the building, and I walked out of the building. Came a Niyayiti, the Empire State Building. So he also arranged for us that we had a teacher for Hebrew. The teacher for Hebrew was a fellow called Yaakov Edelstein. He was also a poet and a writer for many years, not so fair. His pen name was Yaakov Eben Chaim. Edelstein? Eben Chaim. Okay. So one of the things that he taught us was a poem that he had written. He was one of the last four survivors of Gush Etzion. Gush Etzion was destroyed, a massacre. On the first Yom HaTzmut, I think, Dalet and Hay Iyar of 1948, they wiped out Gush Etzion. A few hundred people, men, women, and children. And there were four left. And the four of them, it was a mob pursuing them. They ran up a mountain and into a cave. And they were just waiting for the moment that they would come and butcher them. And all of a sudden, an old Arab appears at the entry to the cave. And he says to them, you're under my protection. And here the mob comes up, and this old Arab says, they're mine. And he gave them over to the Jordanian Legion. They were in prison for a few months and then returned to Israel. The last four members of the Gush Etzion community. And he wrote this long poem describing it all. And the last sentence, did I write it? I didn't write it? Yeah, I wrote it. Number 13. The last sentence was, Zelo Zakein Velo Arafi Ze Eliyo Anafi. This wasn't an old man, this wasn't an Arab. This was a Yo Hanavi. I I think that that sums up, in general, the way we have seen Eliyahu Hanavi throughout history. Eliyahu Hanavi. But this Eliyahu Hanavi is not the same Eliyahu Hanavi of Tanakh. The one to whom the Rebbeinu says, "Yeshi v'nevuotecha, I can't take your prophecy. Atamalameit kategoria alpon, I speak evil of my children. I can't take it." A transformation takes place. Eliyahu Hanavi becomes the great lover of Israel and the great protector of Israel. He's the one that's going to bring us the good news of the coming of Mashiach. He's there. Why, how many stories there are about Eliyahu Hanavi more than any other. What happened to Eliyahu? How did Eliyahu Hanavi 1 become Eliyahu Hanavi 2? I know how. Baal Ein HaBodem Smecha brings a question, precisely the same question, and the same answer is given by two disparate people. The Levi Yitzchak Mipartishev asks the question, Chassidic great, and before him yet, the Mabit. Ramesha Mitrani, who was a member of the Beis Din of Rabbi Yosef Karo in Tzfat, one of the Rishonim. They both asked the same question. Two different Sorim, two different eras. Teiku, when the Gemara says Teiku, so we learn, we're told that it means that Tishbi is going to answer all the questions. So they both ask, wait a minute, we're going to have Moshe Rabbeinu. So we have to go ask Eliyahu. Let's ask Moshe Rabbeinu, let them give the answers. Both give the same answer. Moshe died. Eliyahu's been alive through all of this period of time. Eliyahu knows what the people need. Eliyahu knows how to respond. For the Ein Abonim Smecha of Yisachar Shlomo Teichtel, who wrote this awesome sefer in 1943 in Budapest. He had been for many years a chassid and a talmud of the Minchas Aluza of Munkach. And the Munkach was violently against Zionism and going to Eretz Yisrael and all the rest. Then the Tzavos started, 40, 41. And Rav Teichtel started thinking, and he arrived at a conclusion that we were wrong. We should have participated with secular Jews in building up Eretz Yisrael. We should have told our people, go en masse, we're going to Eretz Yisrael. He wrote an awesome sefer. It is most probably the greatest document to emerge from the Second World War. It was printed in Budapest in 43 or early 44, and then Nebuch on a train somewhere, I don't know whether it was to Auschwitz, a Ukrainian guard tore a piece of bread away from a Jew. And he stood in the train and said, give it back to him. And they went, don't start up with him, don't stop. He saw this terrible injustice and he fought and they beat him to death. So he says, the one that can paskin, Eliyahu can paskin, not Moshe. Said the same thing, the Minchas Aluza are not alive now. You cannot tell me the Das Torah of the Munkach Rebbe when Jews are being taken 12,000 a day to be killed in Auschwitz. It's a different world and different circumstances. And you have to be able to look at the circumstances and then advise Klal Yisrael. Them established policy. Can't say, the Rebbe said, different time, different place. Eliyahu's alive. I'm alive now, then I have my responsibility to say what has to be done under the present circumstances. So he said, every time I read it, he said, Rabbeinu Shalom, if you get me and my family out of here, I promise the first thing I'm going to do is I'm going to Eretz Yisrael. Eliyahu too
is the one who's been alive all these years. And you know what I think made him into a Baal Tshuva? You know why he can no longer suffer listening to people speak ill of the Jewish people? Because, boy, does he have a story to tell. He most probably was at a bris, or who knows how many brisim, in Spain of the Inquisition, in a bunker in Hitler, Germany. Who knows how many brisim he was at in the Soviet Union underground. He has watched for 2,500 years Jews being Moshe Nefesh for Bris Milah. You know what amazed him during all of this time? So many people disappeared from the face of this earth, and this people that suffers more than all the others, they keep going. You can't keep them down. Elio is watching a living witness to Jewish history passing before him. And he becomes more amazed from minute to minute. This is an awesome people! How did I ever say a bad word about them? To go describe what he saw, how much Jewish suffering, pogroms, expulsion, horrible deaths of all sorts, and Jews saying, Shema Yisrael, Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem Echad, and then Am Yisrael Chai. And yet they come back and they establish a state, Shomu Shomayim. Eliyahu must have been jumping for joy. There's no question about it. He says, How on Yom Ha'atzmaut with a bracha. No doubt about it. Eliyahu watches the most awesome, powerful, and amazing history of any people on the face of this earth. And that's what turns him into the Baal Tshuva, to say a bad word. That's right. I put it over there, number 10. Avinu Malkeinu, Chamol Aleinu Val Olaleinu V'Tapeinu Rubeishon Hebrachmanis, and our children and our infants. Avinu Malkeinu Asei L'man Harugim Hashem Kodshech Adu, for those who are killed for your holy name. How many countless Jews died? Al Kiddush Hashem. Avinu Malkeinu, Asei L'man Tevuchim Al Yehudero, do for those who were slaughtered because they said Shema Yisrael, that you're one. Avinu Malkeinu, Asei L'man Boi Ve'eshev Amayim Al Kiddush Shemecha, for those who went through fire and water to sanctify your name. Avinu Malkeinu, Nikol Leinenu, Nikmaz Dam Avadecha HaShofach. Father, avenge before eyes the spilled blood of your servants. The times that, you know, I get upset. Only serious things get me upset, you know. I'm sitting in the doctor's office yesterday with a very, very sweet fellow. I know him for many years. A nice, sweet, able, and good guy. And he starts telling me, you know, he lives in Harnof, down below. That's the only hint I'm going to give. You're not going to give me more hints. I'm not going to give you his initials. So we're talking that, you know, Harnof, we had both moved in about 27 years ago. You know what it means to get into Harnof today and get out of Harnof today? Who knows how many hours of the day you can't cross Kampfei Nisharim. They always say you need Kampfei Nisharim to cross Kampfei Nisharim because it's just plain a bottleneck. And if you're going to try Bet HaTfus, that's worse. Don't try and get past Osharad. There ain't no Osharad trying to get through Bet HaTfus. It's unbelievable. So I innocently said, and you've heard this from me, you know, Rabbi Akiva must be looking down and smiling. You understand? Rabbi Akiva must be looking down and smiling. He's the one who expressed the prophecy of Zechariah, Od Yeshu Zekenu Zekenos, the elderly are going to be sitting in the streets of Yerushalayim. Children will be playing in the streets. I'd rather they play on the sidewalk, really, than on the streets. So I tell him, you know, you all know my Talmud. When I told him when the Rambam came here in 1267, there were a couple of two Jews in Yerushalayim. And now we have difficulty getting in and out of Harnof and Bet Hatfus and Kamfi Nishar. And there's no other street, there's no other way. So he makes an off the cuff remark. You know what else Rabbi Akiva is going to be seeing? His reference to, you know, there are chilonim, he may see chol Shabbos. I told him, no. Hey, Rabbi Akiva, whose motto was, v'yohavta l'reacha kamocha, is going to look at every Jew down there, and he's going to be full of joy. And I'm not interested in your frumish thing. And be careful how you speak about Jews. Rabbi Akiva is not going to look that way. Right? Good, my doctor didn't take my blood pressure. Something else, sorry. I'm okay, everyone. Okay. And then here, I was reading, all right, Talmud deal. Okay. It was a great paper, by the way, it's a very good paper. But here was an article written by somebody whom I have the greatest of respect for. Really the greatest of respect. And the article begins with one of these statements that I see it, I become livid with anger. Says, it had nothing to do with the rest of the article. I don't know why it was there, unless it was there in order to establish his religious credentials. But you know, the Golus continues, we're in Golus. And now of all things, we're in Golus by Jews. So the only way I was able to get it out of my kishkas a little bit is I started writing him a letter, and I wrote and I wrote and I wrote, and I asked him, pray tell me, you see anybody being taken to be burned at the stake, as in Spain? Is anybody being shot over here? You know, if this is Golas, baby, this is the greatest Golas we've ever been in. Don't give me this shtick. And where did you pick up this business that there's a Golas by you? There is no such thing. And then the most important thing is, if you indeed believe that we are in Golas by Yidden, meaning that the Chilonim are the bosses, why is that? Because you didn't come! And they built it for you! And they died in the swamps in order to build it for you. The chutzpah of saying that you're in Golas by Yidden. Now what I have to do, of course, is calm down so that I can finish the letter and send it to him.
God says to Eliyahu, I don't want to hear people speaking ill of my of Klal Yisrael. I don't want it. This is a Klal Gog. Kamachor, the Yalkov Yamlein says, Kamachor, how serious it is to speak about Klal Yisrael. We don't have enough dirty goyim in the world. Sonny and Soil are speaking about them. We have to speak about Klal Yisrael too. Watch your mouth. Retzotz peh. Shatter the mouth of those who speak ill of Klal Yisrael. Eliyahu Hanavi, one, became the great Baal Tshuva because he took a look at a Klal Yisrael and he saw the strength, the determination, the unswerving faith in the Beishon. It is a story, the greatest story of all. Nations keep coming, nations keep going, passing like shadows wiped off the earth. Thou, Klal Yisrael, an eternal witness remaining
bearing the message, God is but one. When I, before I went into, when I, my first year as a chov, I was in Toronto, So, you know, I wanted some pointers from a pro. So I called my brother in Worcester, Massachusetts, Oliver Shalom, I called him. What do you have to tell me about the Yom HaNevi'im? So he told me one klal, and I have lived with that klal out of Yom HaNevi'im. He said, listen, during the period of the Yom HaNevi'im, don't get up in shul and start listing the sins of the Jewish people. Speak only well. You want to give them Musa? You have a whole year to give them Musa. But Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur, shashtil. Don't come in and tell them you're a bunch of this and a bunch of that. Hey, you sinners, repent before the Lord. That's not Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur. Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur, you talk about the greatness of a Klal Yisrael. Avinu Malkeinu speaks about the greatness of Klal Yisrael. That's what it's all about. And therefore, seeing Jewish history, the reality of Jewish history, Eliyahu Navi, God's angry man, Eliyahu 1, becomes Eliyahu 2. Rachman, who Yishlach Lanu, as Eliyahu Navi, Yivasel Lanu, the Sarah is Tavis, Yeshua, the Fonis, Gemara, Sivatayu.